Welcome everyone back to the podcast of champions. Is that what we say? I don't know, because we don't have the thing playing. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the 24/7 Sports Network.
This is Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com, the USC site on the 24/7 Sports Network. And together we make the podcast of champions, talking all things Big Ten football. We got only one game left, David.
Tell the people where you are. Tell the people where you are, Ryan.
In my hotel.
In your hotel where, Ryan?
Oh, I'm in Bangkok, Thailand.
Okay.
Because I haven't been on a vacation for a while, you know, so I figured.
In the Ryan Abraham vacation tracker, can I remind everyone that Ryan has been to Southeast Asia already in the last 7 months? This is his second trip to Southeast Asia in the last 7 months. I think we need to speak to you about, sir, a very serious problem you have, which is called vacation addiction. There are treatment plans.
I love vacation. Well, I was working in Hawaii, working very hard.
Yeah, at the Polynesian Bowl. Very essential to have between 7 and 15 247 personnel on the island at any given moment during the Polynesian Bowl. Because high school recruiting is so very important to our business these days.
Especially guys that have already signed or enrolled at the school that you're covering. They are going to try to do more juniors. I think they're going to do juniors next year mostly. So I did a bunch of work in Hawaii, which was cool. And then I literally was planning on going to Guam. I was like, I might go to Guam because United had a direct flight there and stuff. And that didn't work out. And I ended up going to Tokyo, which I haven't been to for a long time, but I went once before and that was awesome. Sushi and fun thing. And then I was like, I don't know where I'm going to go. And I got a direct flight to Bangkok. So I've never been here. So I came and I'm coming back on Wednesday.
What a modern medical marvel you are.
I don't know where I am or what day it is, or it is in the future. I'm a day ahead of David.
Yes.
So I know what happens in the game.
And 15 hours, not 17.
15 hours, okay.
And also not 16.
They gave you the wrong thing, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a little behind the curtain stuff for you all. Do you want to continue your preamble now, Ryan?
Yeah, we can do that. We want to get your questions. I haven't looked at anything. Obviously, I don't know what's going on, but Big10Cast@gmail.com. I don't have my little board to play all the sounds. It's going to be a weird show. And we didn't do a recap of the Final Four games, so we'll have to do a little bit of that too. You can tweet us at B1G Podcast and call or text us at 424-532-0678. We do love the Apple Podcasting 5-star ratings and reviews. I sent out a few gift cards. Thanks to John and Brea. Sent me some more. Our friend Gigi, she's going to get a couple of gift cards to help her students. And what a shout out to Ahmad, who's one of my writers over at USCFootball.com. He unfortunately lost his house in those terrible fires that were going on. And I sent him a couple of gift cards, and John sent me some more to send to him. So shout out to John for helping out some peeps with the gift cards. And I've sent some to our listeners, too, who left the reviews.
Truly a king of men, John and Brea. We do have another new review if we want to hand out another one.
It'll be great.
All right. This is from Library Bruin. The Germans call this Fremdschammen. It's from January 9th. It's a 5-star review. Even though only one of them is actually a father, it's like watching two goofy dads talk about football and other sundry subjects. Occasionally, they elicit a chuckle, but mostly you're just embarrassed for them. 5-star review right there.
I think you can email me, ryan@uscfootball.com, and I will send you a gift card if I ever return to stateside. That'd be great.
You know, I'm really upset that not everyone is getting the visual of you right now. I think you are propped up in bed. That is my guess as to your location right now.
I am, yes. It is 7:20 in the morning here.
Yeah.
And I was out late having some beers.
Like, looking rough is what I would say. Ryan Abraham is
you look like you've been out in Thailand all night, so I don't know. Like,
I always look rough. You look rough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got to get to some other stuff, right?
Yeah, I ate like an amazing meal at the first meal I had here. Google's good for this stuff. Like, I don't know anybody here. I don't know anything about this place. And I Google this little Thai, like pad Thai stand, and it's in this like alley, and it's this lady with like a tarp, and she has like a wok, and there's like a, you know, a crate of like fresh vegetables, and there's like chicken and all this stuff. And she just, I sit down, and there's like, you know, folding chairs and, you know, card table or whatever. And she makes me like this pad Thai, and it was freaking amazing. And I was just, you know, it cost like $3. You know, I was like, that's pretty awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. Different than Tokyo experience. That's like expensive as hell, but
yeah. Very cool. Yeah. We gotta talk about some stuff, Ryan.
We gotta talk about some games. We did have the Final Four happening. Let's do questions next time, I guess.
Yeah.
Want to get back? Is that fair?
Totally.
We did our picks for both games. We went 1-1 and said picks. So I guess we'll talk about the first one. Happened Thursday night. This was another country, another year maybe. I don't know when this happened.
Literally like 10 days ago. We're recapping a game from 10 days ago. If you've been following this show for some time, our recall from a game's 2 days ago is usually kind of poor. From 10 days ago, I'm not even sure which teams played.
I wrote down notes, and David said, I read the notes and don't even remember. So that's good to know. But first up, we had...
Oh, God, I got to do it all. We've got the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Give me that pot of gold! Versus the Penn State Nittany Lions. Wow! I think that's what we do. Is that what we do for the Nittany Lions? Something like that.
Sometimes it's more of a roar, but yeah, that's good.
Great. This was the good game of the semifinal games. It was really back and forth. It was a lot of fun to watch. I thought there were moments where it looked like Penn State was going to win, and then there were moments where Notre Dame looked like it was going to win, and ultimately Notre Dame was the last team with the ball with a meaningful chance to win, and they kicked a go-ahead field goal. But if Penn State had a full minute instead of 7 seconds there at the end, this one probably goes to overtime, and it continues to be a very, very good game. I think the obviously Notre Dame won; they're advancing to the title game. The play by play is less important now 10 days later, so I'm going to focus on like kind of three takeaways. One, Drew Aller picked a bad time to play his C game, C minus game. It was not a good performance. That was a tough defense to play against, but he was not sharp, and not sharp enough to complement that running game appropriately. Two, I don't think this game is an indictment of James Franklin. I don't think losing this one is like, oh, all the other ones where he's lost to top tier opponents. It's going to get lumped in the same category, but I thought they traded blows well. It never looked like Penn State was outclassed. It looked like two teams of kind of equal metal competing against each other, and that was all good to see. I will say, as a nitpick, and this is kind of my third takeaway, and it's my one kind of play-by-play note, at the end, I think it's marginal, but you let Nick Singleton return the kick with 7 seconds to go instead of putting it back in the hands of Drew Aller to try to get one big play for a field goal or try to get down the field in 7 seconds. Drew Aller was super rattled especially the latter stages of the second half. And two, you have Nick Singleton with a possible head of steam from the goal line. I like his chances of getting 70 yards plus at that point much more than I like anything from the actual Penn State offense at that point. It's a nitpick because they're not going to probably do much with 7 seconds to go anyway. But I do think that was a misstep. Otherwise, I thought it was a really good game. I mean, and I don't think it was one where like either team should feel like they got jobbed or that you know, oh, we were so much better than them, but for this or that. I thought it was a really evenly played game between two good teams.
I really disagree with you on the I didn't think he should have returned the kick, because think about this. Drew Aller was lighting it up with the wide receivers all game. So when you need like a 75-yard bomb, well, hold on. I'll count up how many balls the wide receivers caught for Penn State. Carry the two. Zero. None. That's insane. So the story was Notre Dame just said, hey, your receivers stink. We're going to play man-to-man all over the place. And yep. They did a really good job of it and just shut them down. And that, then, you know, you're looking at this Andy Kulnicki stuff. You're like, hey, you should figure something out. You can't have a game like this where you don't complete a pass to a wide receiver. But this, you're right, this was a back-and-forth game. I don't want to spend too much time on it. Abdul Carter was a beast. He had Darth Vader on his eye black, which was
awesome. And it was uncertain until like a day before the game that he was even going to play.
He got a sack at one time, and one of his teammates got an illegal hand in the face, so it got wiped off, which was kind of dumb. He had two picks that were – Drew Aller had two picks that were overturned, like, questionably. So it could have been worse, you know. But then he had that late ball over the middle when they – you know, that was the killer, where you had a chance to try to – you had a little bit of time left. You had a chance to score, and – you know, they ran the ball to start for, you know, the first play, and I think Singleton picked up 12 yards or something. And then, like, Aller rolls to his left and throws back late over his right over the middle. It's like, you can't do that. And then gives a gift to Notre Dame. Yeah. The Irish only had 2.8 yards per carry. I thought Penn State's defense was great, just the offense. It was bad. I thought, you know, Riley Leonard ran the ball pretty well, but not the way he did against Georgia. Like, that's, you know, he was able to pick up everything he wanted against Georgia, and Penn State did a much better job. But I thought Aller needed to run more. He didn't in the first half. It was a very low scoring first half. And then the second half, all the kind of points came off. And Notre Dame was a very bad team converting third downs. They converted 8 of their first 9 in this one. And they were, you know, 8, like on third and short, they were 8 for 8, and they ended up being 11 of 17 overall. So it's one of those things where, hey, they're not good at converting third downs. Penn State allowed them to. That was bad. And then the one stat, OptiStats said this one. The first time this century where you had a game that had 5 game tying or go-ahead scores, multiple interceptions, a 50-yard plus TD, a game-winning field goal in the last 10 seconds, all in the fourth quarter. That hasn't happened in an FBS game or NFL game this century. So 25,000 games. You've never seen that happen all in the fourth quarter. So it was pretty exciting. The first half wasn't exciting, but the second half was.
Pretty amazing. Yeah. But yeah.
So I just had a bunch of shit run. It came to me after reading it all, but it's that, yeah, 10 days ago, that was crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it was a crazy game. But Notre Dame advanced from that one. And we have to talk about another one, Ryan.
Yes. This is the Cotton Bowl.
Yes.
This was between the Ohio State Buckeyes. Something like that. Nuts falling.
Yeah.
I don't know. Taking on the Texas Longhorns. Moo. This was so close to being a good game, but just too many mess ups from Texas. So again, the play-by-play is a little bit more important for this one, because there were two massive swings against Texas in this game that just completely changed the complexion of what was actually fairly evenly played, mostly because Ohio State was a little sloppy. So Texas scores towards the end of the first half after, like, really struggling offensively for most of the first half. They score to tie it up with 29 seconds left. So you're like, okay, we're just going to go into, like, some cover 3, you know, shell and just keep them from driving down the field. This will be fine. We're going to go to halftime. On the first play for Ohio State on the next drive, they dump a little screen pass to Travion Henderson, who goes 75 yards for a touchdown. So that's so suddenly it's Ohio State 14-7 at halftime, when 29 seconds before it was 7-7. Then at the end of the game, or near the end of the game, I should say, Ohio State's up 21-14. They've just driven down and gotten this huge long drive. Feels like things are really swinging against Texas. It's 7 minutes to go when Ohio State finally scores, but they eat up like half the fourth quarter. That's what it felt like at the time. But Texas kind of valiantly fights back. They do their own pretty long drive. They get all the way down to the Ohio State one, but then big loss. And then on fourth and goal from the eight, strip sack fumble for Quinn Ewers, returned for a touchdown, final score 28-14. And it's like, it wouldn't have taken all of that much for Texas to have, like, those two things flip differently. This is a tie game at worst and potentially Texas winning. But just two wildly, I won't say unlucky, but just wildly crazy swings against Texas in this game that made it, you know, essentially Ohio State covering when this was not a game that Ohio State probably should have covered with the way they played.
Yeah, the game was in doubt as far as like the result. And then it ends up turning into an Ohio State cover. We were both on Penn State getting 1.5 and they end up losing by 3. So we got that one wrong. We did both take Ohio State in this one. It was a 5.5-point spread, and we got it right. And that, you know, and when you're watching a game with spread wise, you're like, okay, Ohio State's covering, it was 14-7, like you said. That third quarter, Howard, like, you felt like Ohio State could have taken control. Howard gets a terrible pick to start the third quarter because they get the ball. They scored at the end of the first half, and then they get the ball. He had a really bad pick, and it gave Texas good field position. It looked like they were getting him off the field. And do you remember that play? Ewers was, like, getting sacked and, like, did this kind of side flip to the running back.
Yeah.
And not only he catches it, like, right ahead, and then he goes for the first down. That was nuts. And then, but they end up getting a touchdown, like, on that drive. But the one that you were talking about, Texas was first and goal from the one. There was a ton of Ohio. That's the thing. Ohio State covered. They made a ton of mistakes, a lot of penalties, allowing Texas to get down there. You know, there was like two pass interference calls or whatever. First and goal from the one, and they end up doing this like wide pitch that lost seven yards at the one, and that sack scoop and score was crazy. And it was like former roommates, you know, that happening to. So that was the big story. Everyone was talking about that after the game. But I thought there was some luck involved in that Texas score to make it to tie it up. But then, you know, Ohio State just kind of took it. I think the right team won. I think they probably should have covered, but they didn't play a super clean game. Both teams, I think, made kind of mistakes, critical mistakes, but Ohio State had a lot of penalty stuff. If that happens again against Notre Dame, I mean, there could be some problems. I don't anticipate that, but man, they made a lot of mistakes in this one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. All right.
Ohio State, Notre Dame advanced to the national title game.
Crazy that we get to talk about this, and it's happening. Well, it's today for me. We're recording this on 4:34 p.m. West Coast time on January 19th.
But it's not today for you because it's going to be 24 hours from now. So you understand?
No. I'm saying for you guys, where we're recording this and where most of the people are listening, it's Sunday early evening, late afternoon.
Right. But
it's Monday morning.
The inauguration game will be played on Tuesday.
National Championship Day. Happy birthday to my mom. All of it.
Yeah.
Yes. The game will be played on Tuesday.
Are you gonna wake up early to watch it?
I think so, yeah. So what time is it on? What's the 4:30?
It'll be about this time.
Oh yeah. So 7:30. That's good. Now I know. Like 7:30. It's actually 24 hours from right now. 7:30. I will have to be up. I tend to not sleep, or I get up too early. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. Do you ever try? I try to adjust and like go to sleep at a normal time, and it never works. I end up having to take a nap during the day. I don't know what's going on. But yes, I will get up and watch this game.
I'm concerned for you. This is too much. This is too much on your old bones.
54 now, David.
On your ancient bones.
I'm pretty ancient.
All right. Well, should we preview that game, Ryan?
Well, we have to. Did you want to take a break or something?
I don't know. Do we do that? No, let's just rock this thing. Whatever. I'll throw in a thing without a break. All right, fine. We'll do it. You ready? All right, everyone. We'll be right back after this quick break. All right, we're back.
So we got a preview. We got the national championship game. Love it. Excuse me. 4:30 p.m. ESPN. Is it ABC also or just ESPN?
I don't know. It's probably on like 7 different channels.
Well, I didn't know because of the inauguration and stuff. Or I guess that's earlier in the day.
I don't know.
The hotel I have gets ABC United States. So I hope it's that because I don't think I can stream it like when you're in another country. So I'd have to do some like bootleg deal to watch it.
Isn't the inauguration at like 9 a.m. tomorrow?
Dude, I don't know.
No friggin' idea. Anyway.
So hopefully it's on ABC too.
Yeah. Okay. So it's on ESPN at least. 4:30 p.m. tomorrow, Monday. Number 8, Ohio State, 13-2, taking on number 7, Notre Dame Fighting Irish, 14-1. That's the Ohio State Buckeyes versus the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Give me that pot of gold. Notre Dame is an 8.5-point dog. Ohio State is an 8.5-point favorite. So we've said this so many times that I don't know. I mean, it just feels like Ohio State is often just playing against itself. You know, if it can play its game, then it's probably going to beat pretty much anybody by, you know, 10 to 14 points, even if they're really good. But if they're playing sloppy and weird, which happened a little bit against Texas, things get quite a bit stranger. What I'll say about Notre Dame is that they are just like a fundamentally and inherently solid team. Like they don't have, like, again, in my admittedly limited viewing of them, I've probably watched what, 4 total games this year of Notre Dame, but in my viewing of them, they don't make coaching failures. Like, they don't make big coaching mistakes. They're really solid on both sides of the ball. Defensively, probably a little bit more so, but with Riley Leonard getting better over the back half of the year, they're really solid on both ends, and they've got a really good running game. So it does require Ohio State playing its A-plus game, but they've got to be on their A game. Like, they do have to play one of their best games of the year to comfortably win this one. And I'm just... With Ohio State, like, they've done that, but they didn't do it against Texas. And that was a big game. They needed to do it in that game, and they really didn't. And they got kind of, again, I won't say lucky, but that game could have swung in a bad way for them. I don't know from a matchup standpoint if Notre Dame's a, quote, bad matchup for them. I just think Notre Dame's super solid. And because they're super solid, I'll take them. I'll take plus 8.5 on Notre Dame. I think, you know, they can cause Will Howard some problems. You know, their pass defense is no joke. And I don't think they're going to score a ton against this Ohio State defense. This Ohio State defense is one of the best, if not the best, defense in the country. But I also think they could keep this Ohio State offense from really going gangbusters. So I still like Ohio State to win, but I'd probably go 24-17 Ohio State, something like that.
Okay, interesting. Well, I'm rolling Big Ten, buddy. I'm going to take Ohio State, I think, up to like 9.5. They're at 8.5 now. I think 10 I might consider, but for me, like, looking at the Notre Dame side of things, I mean, what an impressive run. I mean, this is a team that lost to Northern Illinois and then won, 13 straight games or whatever it was after that. But they, this is a weird year of college football that impressive. Like, it's a great resume that you've seen from Notre Dame. I mean, we know Killer Zignetti, they kind of, I would say exposed them, but, you know, they took care of that where that could have been some kind of roadblock thing. Like, beating like a Georgia, you're like, all right, those are the kind of teams that that Notre Dame would lose to. And then, you know, really good battle with, you know, Penn State, like impressive stuff, but none of them are juggernauts. They haven't played a juggernaut. And we know this Ohio State team is a juggernaut. I think there's other years where Alabama or Georgia or like there was multiple juggernauts. I just don't think Texas was. I mean, they were close maybe, but they lost to Georgia twice. I feel like even with the missteps along the way, we're seeing this Ohio State team as a juggernaut. Play kind of not great, make a bunch of mistakes, and still beat a Texas team by 14. I think Texas would probably be favored against Notre Dame. I like this one for Ohio State. And the reason being, when we talk about what Notre Dame was able to do to Penn State, I think if you man-to-man Ohio State's receivers like they did against Penn State, that you could just shut those guys down and make them irrelevant. You can't do that. I think you're going to get burned if you're going to play all man-to-man against Ohio State and those receivers. Now, the Notre Dame pass defense has been really impressive, not against USC or whatever reason, but they have been. But I think it's a whole different animal when you're talking about Ohio State's receivers and the way, like, Will Howard has, you know, been playing lately. So, and Ohio State's defense is pretty legit. It's just the way and Riley Leonard, when you watch them against Penn State, it was a different experience than when he played against Georgia. Penn State's front was able to contain him a lot more. I think Ohio State's going to do an even better job of that. So they're healthy. I just like Ohio State in this one. I think we're not going to get a very good national. I'm hoping we do. I don't mind being wrong my pick, but my guess is going to be we don't get a great national championship game.
What a absolute hater. Hating my people, the Irish. I've always known that about you, Ryan, but it is really disgusting to have it confirmed today.
I'm part Irish, I believe.
Well, you hate that part of yourself, don't you? I think we've learned this.
Yes, I do. I mean, I'm hoping it's good. That the Notre Dame Penn State game was definitely good, you know. And there was good points to the Texas Ohio State one, but I just kind of feel like, and maybe, you know, the extra time is something. I don't know, but the way the play, since the playoffs have started, Ohio State just looks like, whoa, this Texas game was the first time they didn't look like unbeatable, and they still won by 14, you know. So it's like one of those things. They'd have to play like that, and then Notre Dame like really play like an A kind of game. I think Notre Dame did like A game for Penn State. So I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully it's good. Maybe I'm wrong about the Irish, but I think this. I only see one like juggernaut-y kind of team, and you know, they waxed pretty good teams along the way. Like, just took them out of there. Like, can they do what they did to like Tennessee? You know, and just be like, all right, this is freaking over. What was the one? Was that the 34-0 game? Or no, that was the next. Was it the next round? Yeah, whatever. It's, they've just blown people away.
Yeah, it's true. It is true. Well, if Ryan's right, then we'll get a really crappy game tomorrow night. But if I'm right, well, we still have to watch Chip Kelly win a national championship. So I think either way, we're getting a really bad game tomorrow night.
It's going to be a little painful to, and I think the most painful part, and I don't want to speak to your pain, but the watching how bad he performed in the Michigan game, knowing that all you needed to do was like throw it to your wide receivers and not try to prove a point. Once he just started to win the way you should, Ohio State should have won. Then it's like, oh yeah, why didn't you just do this, dummy? You know? So it's kind of funny. Maybe he goes back to that. Maybe he's like, we got to show Notre Dame we're tough, and we're going to run the ball all the time. And they don't complete balls to their wide receivers either. Like, that's how they lose, right? If they do something like that, they need to get those wide receivers going. And that, you know, I anticipate they will.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, you wanted to skip questions. Do we want to just be done right now and do a quick show? 30 minutes tight.
Well, if you want to do a couple questions, I don't care, but like, I don't have them up or anything. Do you, or we could skip it.
Let's just skip them. Let's do them next week. That's totally fine. Because I don't even know where we left off, really. So we will catch up with all of you when Ryan is, I guess, briefly back before he goes on another vacation, spur of the moment, to, I don't know, the middle of Mongolia or something.
I've been to Mongolia. That could be a good one.
I have a friend who went to Mongolia. She really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I don't even know how to get there.
I think via an airplane.
Yeah, but like I usually try to like map out like, okay, how do you get somewhere? Like, there's cool stuff. Like I sort of like doing the direct. So like, if you're gonna go, have you ever been to like Tahiti?
No.
So it mostly goes through LA. I went with my ex, and it was awesome over there. Like, I went to Bora Bora. Really cool. But it was funny. All the people on the plane were like from South Carolina, or so they all had to like fly through LA. So it's like a cool one. If you live in LA, it's like, oh, you can just get the direct flight to Tahiti and boom, you're done. But if you're, and then you like take a little smaller plane to like Bora Bora or whatever island you're going to. But yeah, those people had to land in LA and then like, I don't know, they like stay overnight and then go. But so there, I like cool destinations that you can get to like direct if you can. So I try to like look at those options and just fly somewhere direct.
All right, I'm going to look up for you right now. So here's, you can get direct flights to Ulaanbaatar. Hang on. I don't want from, I want to. Come on. All right. We want, this is not working. This site sucks.
There you go. You had a,
all right, I think you can get it from Tokyo. You can get an Ulaanbaatar flight from Tokyo. You can get one from Beijing. You can get one from Istanbul. You can get one from Hong Kong.
Yeah, and you can get to like most of those places direct from LA, like Hong Kong, either.
Yeah, it's, I think, a hop, skip, and a jump.
Haneda or Haneda. Either airport in Tokyo. Yeah, no, I haven't been to mainland China. Mongolia is right there. I've been to Russia.
Why?
I had a buddy that worked at the U.S. Embassy in Moscow. This was like 20 years ago. And he's like, hey, man, I'm here. I got a place to stay if anyone wants to come visit. And I didn't even know him that well. Like, yeah, a bunch of my other friends were much closer to him. But nobody took him up on it. Who takes him up on it? Like, dude, I'll come visit you. I did. And they have direct flights to Moscow from L.A. You fly over like the North Pole. It's freaking crazy.
Just wow. All right. Well, this has been enlightening. 20 years ago. This has been enlightening, elucidating, and illuminating, Ryan.
You learn so much when you travel, David. Go travel. If you have an opportunity, if you're lucky enough.
That's the dumbest thing. The people who say that, no, you learn how to drink beer and eat food in a different place. No, you learn from reading things. That's how you learn things. I love people are like, oh no, I'm gonna go experience it. No, you're just doing a tourist thing. You're just eating food and drinking beer in a different place. It's got, you know, it's got people speaking a different language at you, I guess. But like, your experience in Thailand right now is, you just explained to me that you ate some pad thai. You know where I can get some pad thai? Around the corner. You know where I'm going to learn about Thailand? From a book. I'm not going to learn anything from like standing there ordering some pad thai and sitting on a folding chair.
I would disagree. I mean, just culturally, it's like, it's so different. You get my hotel in Tokyo. You walk in and there's little, it's a very small room. Little slippers and robes and stuff for you. Like, there's a whole, just to kind of experience the culture. Bidets everywhere here, which is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, bidets are great.
We need We need bidets.
Stay at a nice hotel sometime in the States. Guess what? They got bidets.
You don't usually stay at nice hotels in the States because, like, what's the point? You know,
bidets are nice. Everyone should have bidets. Like, we have a fallen culture. This isn't new. This isn't information we needed.
It's like,
why are we still wiping our butts with paper? Why? Tell me. Yeah, I want to know. I want to know. My hairy butt wants to know.
You can have one installed. You can buy them like on Amazon.
I think I've brought this up on the show before, but have you ever, have you seen the movie Demolition Man with Sylvester Stallone, Sandra Bullock?
Long time ago, but.
There's a whole bit in that movie about how insane it is that we still use toilet paper to wipe our butts.
Oh, okay. I need to look that one up. That's great.
Because he's like cryogenically frozen, and then he wakes up in a future where they're using this like elaborate thing called the three shells or whatever. But it's basically just commentary on why aren't we using bidets yet? Like, come on. Squirt a hot jet of warm water up there. Clean me out. I'm good. We're good for the rest of the day then.
It's pretty impressive. I mean, just having power in the bathroom is the problem, right? Like, we haven't designed bathrooms to have outlets in them, and you need an outlet to run the bidet.
I mean, I would say most bathrooms have outlets in them.
Not usually where, like, the toilet is, or, you know, if it's next to the shower or whatever. Like, yes, the sink has an outlet, but nothing usually to where, like, the water closet part would be where the toilet is, you know?
I guess that's true. I mean, I guess that's true. But, man, fallen society, fallen culture, fallen world. I'm glad you're learning that the rest of the world isn't like that. It's very nice. I'm happy
for you. I like experiencing these kind of things. So, yes, you get to eat different foods and drink different beers and whatever you want to do. But I like exploring and I like, but just culturally, like how you interact with people. It's just so different. I just kind of enjoy them.
Oh, do you just like kick people in the balls in Thailand or something? Or do you still say hello and like you're polite and you're not a dick? Is that like, you know, or is that like not a cultural norm there?
I put a big American flag on my backpack and just hey, you know, right? Yeah, no. Trains also. Very good. Most other places, except where we are, they suck.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, just, and you know, getting around where it's like, okay, I've landed at this airport and like, okay, I got to take this train to here. And you're looking up and there's a bunch of kanji. Now there's a lot of English, you know, especially in Japan and in Thailand too, but still trying to figure out like, okay, how do I get here? Which line am I taking? Where do you get off? I don't know. Google helps a lot. You can use Google Translate if you need to talk. So that stuff makes it a little bit easier. But I don't know. It's just I can learn doing this stuff too. Yes, reading helps, but I like it.
Okay. So you've learned how to use Google Translate is what you've told me here.
I mean, and I like puzzles, right? I like being a former engineer, like problem solving. Like when you land somewhere and I go places, I don't plan everything out. Like, I mean, maybe I have the hotel booked. I don't know dick usually. Like, all right, let's go figure it out. Like, how do I get here? Like there is problems like you need to solve. And I like doing it and traveling by myself, which is, I guess not a lot of people do, but I love going to do that kind of stuff and just going to figure it out. Like, okay, how do I get from here?
You should pay someone to drug you, put you on a plane to a random location, and then you wake up from a stupor and you have to figure out how to go somewhere from there.
Do that. Well, we talked about when they asked us to do which game show, like the Amazing Race or stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
I think I'd be pretty good at that. I don't know if you would. You'd be like, I just want to read about this. I don't want to actually experience that.
That's not what I'm saying. No. I'm not saying I just want to read about it. I'm saying the point of traveling isn't like people talk about traveling like, oh, I just learned so much. It was the experience of learning. And it's like, no, it isn't. It's you're in a different cool place where you can go drink beer and eat food. And maybe it's a slightly different food than you normally eat. And like, it's a new thing for your eyeballs to look at. But it's not like you're not learning. Like, that's not what it is. That's not the point of this exercise. It is to do a cool thing where you can say, like, I went hang gliding, but I also went to Thailand. Like, it's just a, it's an, ex, it's, yeah, anyway. Anyway, it's a semantic problem.
And there's different things. Like, in Hong Kong last year, like, there's so many, like, Michelin star restaurants, like, everywhere. And, like, in just the way it's presented, you have these buildings that are brand new, and there's these ones that are, like, super old, and, like, they're kind of mixed together. Like, even in Tokyo, I mean, super advanced everywhere. But, like, I'm looking up these restaurants. Like, I'm going to go try to find the sushi place. And you're walking around and you're like, it should be here. And I don't know. And you have to go up some stairs and there's like a, and you know, nothing, there would be nothing in English. It'd be some kanji or some symbol. And like, just even trying to find it. Cause it's not like you get to the place where it's supposed to be, but it might be through some narrow, you know, walkway and then up some stairs and all this stuff. Like it's different, like a huge marquee. Like if you're at, it's not an Applebee's, you know where the hell that is. That's not the, you know, necessarily that way. Like in a lot of these places in Tokyo. So that's like, hey, that's an experience. Like you've learned, like, could I read about that? Like, if you're going to a restaurant, it's going to be like this, or trying to figure it out. And it's like looking around, like, where the hell is this place? And yeah, I don't know, taking your shoes off and like going in the, and then just eating stuff. You don't even know what it is. Like, do you do that? You would do that, right? Like you would, yeah. Like they put stuff in front of you. Like, I don't even know. Like, you go to some places that they don't speak a lot of English and you, they just like recommend something. You're like, all right, give me that. And you start eating things and don't even know what they are. I don't know. I just like trying that kind of stuff.
That's great. I'm happy for you. All right. Well, this has been a pleasure. I've learned so much from your experiences traveling. Great. Well, everyone out there, please enjoy the national championship game tomorrow. Please enjoy imagining Ryan continuing to experience and learn from all of his travels. He's going to come back with a mind full of new knowledge, new information, new synaptic connections. His neurons will be firing at otherworldly levels. He will be like a Dr. Manhattan of travel. You got anything else?
My apologies for not doing the, I literally prepped for a recap show and then realized like when I got to Hawaii, I'm going to be traveling a while. By the way, it's very cold in Tokyo. I think for like Hawaii and like tropical stuff, I had to go to Target in Waikiki and buy like a couple of sweatshirt things just to have something warm. It was like in the 30s with wind and stuff in Tokyo.
Damn.
I didn't have a coat. So like, see, experience. You can't read about that, David. How would you know it's cold in Tokyo unless you went there?
You've learned how to be an idiot packing. This is amazing.
I'm planning on going to Tokyo when I'm...
You've learned so much. You've learned how to go to Target and buy a sweatshirt. It's incredible. I think my 11-year-old knows how to go to Target and buy a sweatshirt now. But this is incredible. Ryan, at 54, knows how to go to Target.
Trying to buy a shirt, but they don't sell them. They don't need them there.
Incredible. Incredible. The knowledge you are gaining will be an asset to not only me, not only the listeners, but future generations. Like the children of our listeners after your travels will just gain so much just fundamental knowledge.
Are you a massive planner when it comes to trips? Like, do you plan like everything out?
No. I'm like, if I'm going a place, I'll have like a couple of tent pole items that I want to do. But other than that, it's kind of, you know, go with whatever's, you know, whatever I want to do. But I'll have like a couple of things. Like if I'm going to go to a place for like a week, I'll have like two or three things that I really want to see or do when I'm there, and then the rest kind of flow around it.
You have freedom. Like, I'm traveling by myself, so I can do whatever the hell I want, right? But, like, if you have your kids with you, like, okay, you've got to plan stuff more in advance. I do love the just, like, I was in Hawaii, I'm like, I'm figuring out which country I'm going to go to next. Like, that's cool. The best option ended up being Tokyo, and I was like, crap, it's cold. But I went anyway, yeah. But yeah, you got the kids. You can't really do stuff like that.
No, and like I don't think I'll ever be at the point again where I can do stuff like that. The point where like I, or I would say most reasonable people, are at the level where they can do that is from the age of like 22 to 26, where you have absolutely no responsibilities to anyone, for anyone, about anyone, and you can just do stupid things. Which what you're doing right now is a stupid thing. We can all agree, right? Like it's fun, but it's stupid. And that's fine. But I'm happy for you. I don't know if I'm going to get there again, though, because I think even like just having 18. What's that?
When your kids like go to college or whatever, you're empty.
Right, but you have a niche, right? Because you are not only childless, but also you are your own business owner, and you don't have to manage the day to day all the time. So you have income flow with no responsibility for creating it in any way. And then two, you don't have children that you have to manage.
Yeah, it's very true. And, so, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So you've got a niche.
But I have a good staff that if I need to leave for a while, I'm like, you guys take care of things.
Yeah.
I broke some news.
If you have to leave for a while, say, I don't know, between 8 and 10 times a year for like 2 weeks at a time, they're fine. They can handle it.
Should handle it. I had a pretty good war room stuff from Tokyo. So I was doing some news breaking.
Yeah. I mean, it was like your hard work at the Poly Bowl, I think, you know, it was, you know, some really intense stuff that no one else could have done in any real way.
I did like 5 stand-up video interviews with all the USC dudes, like shot highlights and put up highlights of all those guys. I worked a lot in Hawaii, and then I went on vacation again.
Holy shit, man. Oh, you didn't tell me that. I mean, that's like, honestly, that's like building the railroads back in the 1800s. Like, you are like one of the laborers who had to like work 17-hour days, like hammering spikes.
Yeah, and I was having drinks with like Huffman and Biggins, and I had to go back to my room and like edit video to. Like,
oh my god!
Yeah, it was tough.
Okay, all right. Well, now I feel bad. Now I feel bad that I've been ridiculing you this whole time, because that's tough stuff. Having to get a beer with Brandon and Greg, God,
and Blair
and Blair. Oh my god! I mean, that's like a work meeting, you know.
Plus, so I film their like analysis after each practice. I'm their film guy. So they'll do like a stand up for like 4 minutes, and I take care of it. I give them the microphone and all that.
So here's the part I'm kind of stunned by, hearing all of this information. Why is it that you're only taking a few days for a vacation? This feels like, given the workload that you put in at the Poly Bowl, you should have taken a month.
It was a lot. Yeah. I probably need a vacation when I get home.
You might need a vacation from this vacation when you get back. Yeah.
Fishing Cabo.
Yeah. Wow.
You like my fishing trips because I'll feed you.
Yeah, you come back with fish for me, which is good. I like those more. I like those more than your educational trips to Thailand.
Oh man. Well, I guess we should wrap it up.
Should we be done?
Like, rambled on. I think we rambled for like 15 minutes about travel.
Yeah. All right. Well, this has been a pleasure. Do you close this thing or do I?
I usually say something like, I'm Ryan Abraham and I'm in a country in the future. And you are David Woods. And together we're the Podcast of Champions. Hope you guys all enjoyed the show. And we will talk to you next time.
Bye.